Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Jeremy, apparently we are so devoted to recording that I am sitting here after having spent going on 14 or 15 hours, or about 14 hours at Magic Kingdom. And now I am sitting out in the courtyard of Port Orleans French Quarter, where I'm sure some people are going to look at me somewhat weird a couple of times. So, I've seen some pretty weird people here, so...
We appreciate your sacrifice.
But yes, either way, I am here. We are recording, and I guess we can... You know what? I think we should talk about my trips.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Or whatever the earnings call news was. But yeah, let's go with trips.
So, you just got done with the last ever showing of Wishes, but I want to save that for the end. So let's start with Soarin' Around the World.
Yes, Soarin' Around the World. So, yeah. A lot of people, I've seen a lot of complaints about the new one compared to the old one. And I don't know. I like it in that it is much grander, I think, in scope than perhaps the original one was. But it feels a little... too clean, I think, would be what I would characterize it as.
Digital-wise, or?
Just, yeah.
Or too produced?
Digital-wise and too produced. So there are definitely some scenes in there that are, you know, where you hit the uncanny valley. Just that, you know, this is CGI, and it looks almost real, but it doesn't look quite real. The Taj Mahal scene in there is a perfect example of that. It just... I think that's CGI. If it's not, then I don't know what they did to film it to make it look so CGI. But you know, there are just some things in there that feel that way. And then outside of that, I don't know. There's just some, it feels like maybe some character is missing that just seemed to be there with the old one. And I'm not the only one that I've seen say that. So I feel like maybe it's more, because at first I would say that's just nostalgia speaking, but it seems like a lot of people feel that way as well. So maybe there is something missing there.
So are there any scenes like the golfing one, you know, where the guy hits the golf ball and kind of like zooms past you?
Sorry to interrupt you, but
it seems like most of the criticisms I've seen is it's more of a, like you're just flying over these areas and you don't interact very much with the, you know, video in the same way that you did in Soarin' Over California.
Right. And I think that may be some of the quote, and cleanness I don't think is really the correct term, but it's just the best one that I can come up with right now. But I think that definitely is part of it. You know, if you think back to that video, you had the people fishing on the lake and everything, and then the people golfing, and with this you do see people from time to time, but typically they're not interacting. There's one scene with someone flying a kite on the Great Wall, and the kite introduces the transition to the next scene. There's another one where a pontoon plane comes flying at you, which causes the wipe to the next scene. But again, the golf ball, even though that was cruddy CGI, somehow felt better than these very slick CGI things feel, I think. So
does it feel more sterile, I guess?
There you go. There's the word. Not clean, but sterile. Yes, sterile. Okay. That is the word that is definitely the word that I would use to describe it. But at the same time, that's not to say that it's a bad show. These are complaints that I have with it. Another complaint would be that I don't know. I have not counted the scenes and compared the count of scenes to Soarin' Over California, but it almost feels like they tried to stuff too much stuff into this. Mm. It feels like you're clicking between things a lot more. And again, maybe that's just my impression of it, but that is something that I noticed was that it was like, oh, we're here. Oh, no, we're here. Oh, no, we're here. You know, like, you just didn't have time to take in with all of the scenes. There are some of them that are still plenty long, but just some of the scenes felt short to me.
Kind of like they're trying to preserve runtime.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
or conserve runtime, I guess.
Because if you don't keep runtime at a certain number, then you can't run so many per hour. Then you can't run so many guests through per hour. You know, the film that we see is probably not what the director or producer of the project's vision of it would be. It is their vision within the constraints given to them by the company that said, this sucker can't run over a 13 or whatever the number is. Minute runtime. But again, you know, some complaints, but I wrote it twice. I will definitely still continue to ride Soarin'. And both times when it ended, there were plenty of people clapping in the auditorium. And I didn't hear a lot of people complaining about it. So it's still a well-liked attraction, I think.
Okay. What kind of 4D type things are there in Soarin'? Around the world, like scents and stuff like that.
So the only one that I could definitely pick up was what someone next to me, I heard them refer to it as grass. My thing was I smelled dirt over the African savanna, whatever scene. And that was actually really cool. And then other than that, there are some different scents, but nothing... Like with over California, I could tell you this is the sea scent. This is the orange grove scent. The only one that I could definitely tell you is this was the dirt scent.
That's dirt. Not great.
Let's call it the soil scent, you know, because maybe that makes it sound a little bit better. But yeah, that's the only one that I could really pick out. Again, I smelled other things and I'm like, oh, this is the. You know, because we're going over the ocean right now. So this is their scent that's supposed to remind us of the ocean. But to my nose, it was not the same one that they used in Over California. And it didn't smell like ocean to me. But maybe I just haven't been to the right ocean.
So, I mean, okay. So in Soarin' Over California, you could hear when the scent things were running. Is it the same with around the world? Like, could you hear that scents were supposed to be there and they just weren't as strong or something?
I would say,
as you thought?
I would say, you know, actually, as you say that, no, not really. And I don't know if it was that I was not paying attention to the scent emitters or if they have turned them down and, you know, how hard they push or something. But no, I don't really remember hearing and then thinking, oh, it smells like soil.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah.
Like, you could hear absolutely. When you were going over the orange groves.
Well, like, yeah, you would hear that hissing, but I don't remember hearing that and thinking, oh, there's the soil smell that I just heard. It was just suddenly, oh, that smells like soil. And honestly, the first time I thought it was my brain playing tricks on me, it took a second riding and hearing the person next to me saying, oh, can you smell the grass? For me to go, okay, that has to be a scent that they are pumping out into this thing. So, no, I and maybe it was just the theater that I was in, but the scent seemed to come pretty naturally. And maybe that was why some of the other ones were a little bit harder for me to place. And again, things like orange are an easy scent to pick up, or, you know, pine is an easy scent to pick up. Something a little bit more complex, maybe not so much. But yeah, for me, I can tell you there's soil there, and there's a bunch of other stuff. The only other thing that I will say is I have seen many people complain about the bowing issue that you see, especially on the Eiffel Tower, where essentially it curves. And both times I rode in the center section of the, you know, so there are three different sections of seats that go up, and I rode in the center section of seats where the bowing would appear to be least, I think. And I could definitely tell that there was a slight bowing. So I imagine it is pretty pronounced on either side. And you could see it in other things as well. The Eiffel Tower is just where it stands out the most. And I mean, at the same time though, that had to be there in the other version, right? Because that couldn't have just been something they introduced with this new film and everybody went, that's okay. I just wonder if it's, you know, because of things like the Eiffel Tower and the Great Pyramids, if some of these things don't lend themselves more to noticing stuff like that because of the way that they're shaped and everything.
Yeah.
So that is something. But again, if you're writing in the center, at least if you look for it, you're going to notice it, and then you're going to notice it every time. But at the same time, you know, Nancy wrote it with me, and before the second ride, I asked her about it, and she's like, I don't really remember what you're talking about. And as we were sitting there, you know, riding, and the Eiffel Tower scene came up, I said, see, you can kind of see. And she's like, oh, yeah, now I see it. So I don't think it was so noticeable that you were going to pick up on it, at least from the center.
Huh. I should have done this research before we started recording. I'm trying to look up real quick what the sensor's supposed to be. I do know that when you fly over the Taj Mahal, you're supposed to smell roses.
And again, that could be random sweet scent that Brad.
Right.
But again, I think that, you know, when you fly through the forest or the fishing scene over California, then you get the scent of pine. Like for me, my brain goes pine trees, pine. That makes sense. So it latches those two things together immediately. The orange grove, you smell the oranges. My brain latches those two things together. I'm flying over the savannah and I see, you know, dirt and I smell dirt. And so my brain ties that thing together. We're flying over the Taj Mahal. You give me roses. I don't think I don't remember. And maybe there are roses there. And, you know, but at the time I didn't notice them. So whatever smell that was just didn't latch for me.
Maybe they're more subtle instead of being like a centerpiece of, look, we can make it smell like oranges. They're more just subtle and kind of atmospheric.
Yeah, though I will say when you walk into the theater, you still get that. There's definitely a scent there of one of the scents that they're putting out. So they're putting out enough that it lingers a little bit.
It does seem, or it does look like, there are 13 destinations in both Soarin' Over California and Soarin' Around the World. So I was just doing some basic, you know, counting of all the different things, but it looks like you go to the same amount of places.
So maybe it's just maybe it's just the cuts. Maybe it's just the way they chose to spend their time in each place. But again, for me, it felt a lot more like we're trying to squish as much stuff in as we can. Right. Than somehow California did. So that's just my two cents. But you know, the end of the story is, I would definitely suggest, you know, check out the new Soarin if you have not checked it out yet.
Okay, so on to a hotly debated attraction on our podcast, Frozen Ever After.
How has Frozen Ever After been hotly debated? We both have just said no,
hated it.
And guess what? I've ridden Frozen Ever After, and I will still say no. But
really, okay,
with the stipulation, and go back, listen to our previous episodes, and you will hear that this is not the first time I've had the stipulation. The stipulation is, my issue with Frozen is not the attraction; it is where they put the attraction, because it is in Norway. It does not belong in Norway because Frozen is set in Arendelle and has nothing to do with Norwegian culture. You know, in teaching me more about Norway. It has to do with teaching me about Arendelle and Frozen. And that is my issue with it. So let's just, everybody understand, Brad still has that issue with it, right? So
right.
Brad still doesn't like it for that reason. Outside of that.
How was the theming on the outside of the attraction?
The theming on the outside of the attraction was pretty minimal, which I appreciate, though. Norway overall has been, and Flower and Garden was going on. So, you know, they had Anna and Elsa, topiaries out there. When you get done with the attraction, you come out into the Norway gift shop area. There's a huge section that's now devoted to Frozen. And again, those things continue to bug me, but the actual theming of the area is not that bad. I still miss being able to see, you know, into where the waterfall is and everything. And I still miss the Maelstrom theming, but I will be honest and upfront and say that is very likely just nostalgia, not so much that this is a bad theme job. I think that this is a decent theme job and it doesn't overwhelm in any major way, shape, or form on the outside.
That's good.
But and the interior theming, I think looks pretty cool. You know, you've got the lanterns, you've got trees in there, so it kind of mimics the outdoors, indoors. Both times we did Fast Pass, so I didn't get a chance to see Oaken's.
Oh, okay, in the steamed up window.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of that because you don't get to see that if you do Fast Pass. But the other option was to wait 70 minutes for that attraction, and if I can Fast Pass that, I'm not doing that. So I didn't get to see that. But again, the areas of theming in the queue that I saw looked very nice to me. The boat ride is good. I really liked the Olaf audio animatronic. He was very smooth, and you know, everything just worked well with him. And I would say Sven as well. The Anna, Elsa, and what is the dude's name?
Kristoff.
There you go. Anna, Elsa, and Kristoff, their audio animatronics, they are very lifelike looking in their movements. And we've talked about that before. You can see that in the videos when you watch a video of this. You can see that it's lifelike. I'm still not a huge fan of the projected faces on audio animatronics.
Yeah, I had that problem on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, and to me, it's even more so here because Seven Dwarfs are kind of human-ish.
Yeah.
Anna and Elsa are a lot more human-ish. You know, and I said something to Nancy about it. She's like, yeah, their faces are just... She's like, they're squished or something. And you notice it, especially when the mouths start to move and everything. On the one hand, I don't know that they could get that good... that many facial animations and things without doing the projection, so I understand the projection and I appreciate it from that perspective. But again, maybe it's just a little bit of uncanny valley that you start stepping into with that, and especially you can see on the edges of their faces where the projection ends and where it goes from light to dark. So the face just kind of shines, which it's going to because it's projected light onto their face. So that's a little bit, but again, not a huge thing, just something that that kind of bugged me. I'll also say that Elsa's Ice Palace, it was very cool to, you know, come up there, then the boat changes so that you start going backwards. I don't really know that you understand why it's going backwards or that there's really a reason for it going backwards other than because you've seen Elsa, and now you're leaving. And that's just kind of an understood thing. And as you're leaving, you know, she's continuing to sing, and she gets far enough away that you're really not going to be paying attention to her. And it's just walls of screen with nothing really going on. So it feels kind of like that is a, I don't know, unused portion. And then when you reach the back and you get turned and, you know, go down the final drop there or whatever, where I think that's where the trolls used to be in Maelstrom. Cause that's where where the opening would be that everybody could see the boats, out of, you know, that is where Marshmallow is now. And again, it's just like, there's this big, huge marshmallow there. And right before you go down, he goes, "I'm free." And then you go down I don't know. You're not really given a reason for things that are happening, why they're happening. And I feel like they could have done that. But again, if you were to give me this attraction anywhere else, I would have those same concerns with it. But overall, I would say it's a good attraction. And overall, I will say it is a good, you know, a good dark ride attraction. So from that perspective, sure, I like it. If it was in Fantasyland, that would be the end of the discussion. But at the end of the day, you then walk through a really, really long exit, which I guess is because they didn't want to use their, I don't know what they're doing with the old theater now. But clearly there was nothing added to the ride. And so I guess the exit is going through the old theater now.
Oh, I forgot about the theater.
Yeah, so you've just got this long hallway that you're walking through, and then you pop out in the gift shop.
Huh.
So, you know, I don't know. I definitely wouldn't wait, you know, over, say, 45 to 60 minutes for it to see it once. And after that, I wouldn't even wait that long for it. But it's also worth noting that I am not the target audience of Frozen Ever After. And if you're in the target audience, if you really like Frozen, or you have children who really like Frozen, you're going to enjoy this attraction. And I suggest you wait however long you want, because you're going to get to see Anna and Elsa and get to go to the Ice Palace and everything. And that's really cool if you're really into that movie. And nobody, please don't get me wrong, I don't dislike that movie. It's just, that is not my favorite Disney film. I'm not as super attached to it as a lot of people are.
Yeah, so. I don't think you're going to shock anyone by saying you're not a Frozen super fan.
No, not that I'm not a Frozen fan, just not a Frozen super fan. Now, on the other hand, you know, I for some reason, I still break out in "You're Welcome" all the time, which my wife just loves, because, you know, she says something and then I sing "You're Welcome" back. Yeah, you know, yeah. So apparently I am a Moana super fan, but not a Frozen super fan. But anyway, attraction, decent. Location, still horrible. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you have a problem with that. You know, that is just my feeling, and that's going to be my feeling any time that IP is introduced into Epcot, especially when IP is introduced into the World Showcase. That's an issue that I'm going to have with it. You know, at the same time, though, I think, honestly, there is a perfect example of how to do IP in World Showcase correctly, and that is the boat ride in Mexico, because you do Grand Fiesta Tour now, right? Used to be Rio del Tiempo. Mm-hmm. You know, you go and it has Donald, and you know, it's got the three Caballeros in it, and that, so there is definitely Disney IP in there, but it is Disney IP going through Mexico, right?
Right.
If Anna and Elsa had gone on a trip to Norway, and we saw them learning about the fishing industries of Norway, or, you know, whatever, then I don't think I would have as much of an issue with it. But I don't know. I don't want Epcot to be completely funified, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Which makes it sound bad, but that...
No.
Losing that learning aspect of it. But I think that's where it's headed, and I think we're going to see a lot more Frozens and a lot less Grand Fiesta Tour, though that's not what I'd want. But anyway, is what it is. Go wait 45, 60 minutes or a lot longer if you are a Frozen super fan.
So did anything else fun and exciting happen in Epcot?
Geez. No, not really. We, you know, we ate at Le Cellier and it was amazing, because it always is. we ate at the pizzeria in Italy again. This is actually the second time we've done that. And I don't know what my opinion, I seem to remember it thinking, oh, that's good, and I'll go there again if somebody want, you know, if we decide to go, but it's not really a big deal. But Nancy had asked for it because she really enjoys pizza, and that's a place that she can get pizza even with all of her, you know, multitude of allergies. So we went there again, and the pizza was incredible. I had a smoked salmon and tomato and other stuff on it pizza. It was a white pizza. You know, because I don't remember. I don't have a menu. You could actually look it up. You've got a computer in front of you. I am sitting.
You don't have a pizza,
you know,
graphic memory?
I do not have a pizza graphic memory. But anyway, the pizza is super good, so I do suggest that place. And then we went and did Illuminations and sat around forever, which actually, you know what? That was pretty cool. We went and did Illuminations. We typically do it at International Gateway, so right as you walk from Future World into World Showcase. This time, we stayed on the opposite side. So essentially, we did it more or less an American Adventure. We just got close to the big stage there where they do Candlelight Processional and the Summer Concert Series and stuff like that. Okay. And we just, you know, parked ourselves alongside the gate or the fence there. there were some hedges in front of us, and we got to watch Illuminations from there. It was a great viewing area. It's really cool because you can see Spaceship Earth there on the other side. And then when it was over, because I don't feel like getting on, you know, the cattle car buses anyway, we just sat there for like 30 minutes. And so about 9:45-ish, we just started sauntering on out of the World Showcase, and we worked our way out of the World Showcase and got to, you know, got to get some pictures. I've got some pictures of a couple of the different areas with pretty much no people in them, because, you know, there are still plenty of people around, but you've got those open moments when you can take those photos. And when we finally, you know, when we got to our bus stop, we got there within the hour, because I think they run up to an hour and a half after closing. That's what I was thinking at the time, so I tried to make sure I hit that number. And there were five other people on there with on the bus with us. So
that is amazing. You know,
yeah, so we got home. We got back to our hotel a little bit later than what we would have otherwise, but it was so much more relaxing than the
low stress.
Yeah, go out with the rush of the park. Go get in that super long line, wait for four buses, get on the bus. Everybody's squished in like sardines, and you're just, ugh.
So, yeah, you're shoulder to shoulder and gut to butt with a bunch of sweaty people.
Exactly. So if you're looking for a slightly less gut to butt experience, then I suggest, you know, maybe watching Illuminations on the other side and just take your time. Heading out, you know, we got a couple of good pictures of the topiaries on the way out. They are beautiful at night because some of them, I think, you know, so for example, the Beast in France in particular, they actually have lit using different colored lights. So even though it's a green topiary at night, he actually has, you know, like blue pants on, and because they're using different colored lights to kind of mimic the character costumes and stuff. So that's a cool little thing. And, you know, again, you get the opportunity to take those pictures without 400 other people there, and you get out and have less people to deal with. So it was a very nice trip at Epcot. And again, we had, I don't know, because it has felt decently busy, but wait times have really indicated that it's not been that bad here. And Epcot, I think we did 7 fast passes, and we could have got in 8 if we didn't decide to just stick around on the opposite side for Illuminations. And then Magic Kingdom today, we had 5 or 6 fast passes. And again, we could have had more, but we went and sat down at 4 o'clock? No, 5 o'clock. 5:30, somewhere in there. For our fireworks viewing area, an entire 4 hours before fireworks were scheduled to begin.
Goodness.
Because we saw other people, there was at least one person who got there at 8 a.m., went into the park, you know, so you go into the park, and we did get to the park early enough. We watched the show. It is not as good as the old train show to me. It's got a lot more characters in it, and that's all fine and good, but I kind of liked the characters that they introduced in order for the train entry show. Anyway, we did the castle show, but some people came in and they went to the opposite side of the partner statue, and they sat down because that was where they wanted to be for Wishes tonight. And so they sat there from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. so they could have that spot for Wishes.
That is too much.
It is, but it's going to be the last ever showing of Wishes. And, you know, you get a group of people who all want to hang out and experience this together. I get it. It's kind of like, you know, when you waited in line to go watch Star Wars or, you know, whatever big event that you can think of where you did something like that. I would not personally do that. I still thought it was crazy when we got there 4 hours ahead of time, even though I was the one who chose to do that. Note that Nancy is a loving and long-suffering wife who had no issue what she said. You know, she said, it's the last showing of Wishes, so I definitely think this is what we should be doing. If it was anything else, I would tell you, no, I'm going to go do something else. You sit here if you want to. But she sat there so that we, you know, so I could go get us drinks and go get dinner and all that sort of stuff. while she, you know, did whatever, played on her phone and whatnot. But yeah, there were people there throughout the day. But around about 5, you know, you started noticing more people were starting to look for their seats. So that's when we chose to do it, and we sat there, moved a little bit, got a little bit closer because I wanted to get right there on the what everybody pretty much calls it the hump, right as you exit yeah. the hub. Basically, that's between the hub and Casey's Corner. There's a little rise there, and so if you can get right there, you're a little bit higher than everybody else, which is just kind of nice because it gives you a little bit of an advantage to see over everybody, even though you're looking way sure. up in the sky anyway. So we got there, and we stuck around and got to see Wishes finally.
And?
It was Wishes, you know? And it was the last Wishes. No, it was... I am so glad that we came and did this, just because it's really cool to see so many people out there who, you know, who really enjoy this show. I really felt kind of bad because, again, I decided not to buy the Wishes t-shirt just because I didn't really feel like that was something that I was going to get a lot of use out of in my day-to-day life. So Nancy and I actually, I gave in and, you know, help somebody on eBay make a little bit of extra money. I bought there was a pass holder exclusive Christmas ornament that Disney made for Wishes Farewell. And so I bought one of those and had it shipped to us before we had actually even left for Wishes. That way we would have something to remember this by, and something small, easy to put away. And it can go on our Disney Christmas tree with all of our other Disney ornaments. But that being said, I almost felt like I needed a Wishes shirt, if not the official one, then an unofficial one, because there were so many people out there that had so many cool, you know, there were plenty of the Disney Wishes shirts, which are great. So many cool homemade or bought on Etsy or who knows where else t-shirts yeah. out there, and just, you know, fans of it. And so everybody's just super excited, getting ready, and there are people all around you, but it's just, you know, it's kind of the big party atmosphere, has a very upbeat feel to it, and the show starts and everybody's cheering, and then it starts going, and like, it's just quiet. And I'm sure there were still people talking and everything, but it just felt like everybody was there to experience this, and so everybody wanted to experience this.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
cool.
And then it gets to the end, and every, you know, or before that, so, you know, when Tinkerbell comes flying out, everybody is just like cheering. Huge cheer comes up from the crowd. And then again, the rest of the show goes on. But for the most part, everybody just kind of kept it quiet and experienced the show. But then it gets to the end, and you know, everybody's cheering, and then they've got the little post-show song, right? You know, the Wishes Dream a Dream song.
Uh-huh.
And people are singing along to the song. So you can hear everybody singing to it. And I don't know. It was super cool to get to experience that with that group of people.
Yeah. That's kind of heartwarming, huh?
Yeah, it is. Just a little bit. The only thing that I will say that I'm kind of sad, disappointed a little bit that it didn't happen was that there was nothing to really mark this as the final Wishes.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's the, and to some extent, like the announcements leading up to Wishes and Wishes itself, I think that needs to be straight Wishes, right?
Right. Yeah.
But after the post-show song and the moon and stars fall off of the castle, I thought maybe they would do something, you know, to acknowledge it, because clearly Disney is aware of it. They're selling all sorts of merchandise, and, you know, they've got all the signage and everything else up about it. But nope, it was just boom, Wishes, that's over. Now let's start setting up for Happily Ever After, you know?
Yeah, it seems like they could have done like an extra round of fireworks or something.
Yeah, or, you know, just have some sort of announcement and a little fireworks shoots off. I don't know what I expected, but I expected there to be something. So it was somewhat mm-hmm. surprising that there was just nothing. You know, I think on after the show, you know, we're sitting there waiting because, again, didn't want to get in that super there were people everywhere and didn't want to get in that ridiculous crowd. So Nancy and I actually just stayed in our spot for about 20 minutes or so. And then it wasn't nearly so bad to get out. But we were sitting there waiting, and I looked at Twitter, and you know, I saw somebody, I want to say it was maybe the Disney chef or somebody, say, you know, I watched that and I don't know what, but I expected something more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I totally expected something more too. But again, at the same time, it was still Wishes. We did still get to see Wishes, and I'm totally happy that we got to see Wishes. And it's a, you know, it's a little bit sad. It gets you, you know, get a little bit teary, because it is more change. But there is something new that is coming, and I think something that could be really good. And heck, tomorrow night I will know whether or not something really good.
Yeah.
And that'll change my opinion of, you know, Wishes ending, because right now I'm like, I get it. I understand why it's happening. I'm not super excited to see it go, but I am excited to see what will happen next. If I see what it will happen next and I don't like what will happen next, then I will be ranting about why the heck did we get rid of Wishes and replace it with this garbage known as Happily Ever After or whatever, you know. So we'll see how that is.
Well, man, this is weird because chronologically we have arrived at now.
Yes, because, well, yeah.
There's literally nothing more to say.
I jumped on the bus. I ran out of things to do. We ran out of things to do at Magic Kingdom because yeah. at the time that we were looking for our seat, you know, or started to talk about doing our seat, I was continuing to pull fast passes. Again, fast passes have been so easy to come by on this trip. It's been awesome. But all that we have left is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Space Mountain. And I've got both of those pulled for tomorrow. Because Nancy doesn't do Space or Splash. So I did Splash today. I'll do Space tomorrow. And we've already got our fast passes for that. Or for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, that. And, you know, we were sitting there and we're like, what else can we do? Well, we could go ride It's a Small World again. Or we could go ride Haunted Mansion again. Or we could do we could do that. And we were just like, no, let's go look at the hub. And we saw people there. So we went ahead and sat down. But it was kind of crazy to get to the point where we're like, I don't know. And, you know, tomorrow we're going to get up and go check out our resort, which is beautiful. Port Orleans French Quarter. Again, I'm such a cheapskate. Unless I can ever get it to where the special deals and stuff work out, that it's a reasonable price compared to, you know, Pop or All Stars, I probably won't stay here again for that aspect. But if it was... Even if it was a little bit more expensive and not just a lot more expensive, I could see staying here again just because it is so calm and so quiet, except for when somebody's sitting in the courtyard, you know, talking to their podcast. And it's...
You were...
Go ahead.
When we were there at the same time, you were at Riverside, right?
We were.
And so is French Quarter better?
For me, I think I like French Quarter better. Riverside is also very quiet, but... Riverside is very spread out. French Quarter is much more compact. So to some extent, that's where I got stuck at Riverside. Where I got stuck at Riverside, it felt like I would have to go on, you know, a 3-hour tour just to get to the main building. And, you know, we were, in their defense, we were very close to a bus stop. But there are, you know, what, I think 4 bus stops at that resort. Again, because it is so sprawling.
Yeah, I often feel that way at Coronado. It's some of the rooms I've stayed at, it's like a 15-minute walk to the main building.
Right, and that's not a huge walk, but it is when you've already got so much walking to do.
Yeah.
You appreciate, you know, that I'm like I don't know, maybe 2, maybe 3-minute walk away from the main building, and there are definitely further out buildings, but I don't know, and I haven't timed them. But it just feels like the sort of place where even the furthest building out, you might be a 5 to 7 minute walk away, which I feel like would be a much better thing. And it's, again, somehow they managed to have it more compact, but at the same time, it still feels quiet and secluded. And it's just, it's beautifully themed. So yeah, I think that this would be of the what two that I've stayed at now with Riverside and now this, I think this would be my favorite.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a gondola stop.
It does not have a gondola stop. So yes, Caribbean Beach may quickly move up the ratings once the gondolas are active. Until then, Port Orleans, French Quarter, not such a bad place to be.
Hey man, thanks for staying up real late. It's 10:35 here.
Yeah, which makes it 11:35 here. Like I said, good thing we're going back to Magic Kingdom tomorrow. We're gonna walk around the resort a little bit. We're gonna do some Disney Springs, do lunch over there, and then we're gonna head over to Magic Kingdom. So we've got a relaxed day tomorrow. So I'm gonna sleep in a little bit, enjoy a little bit of actual vacation, and then go hit the parks hard all over again. So that we'll have an entire another episode to do next week, talking more Disney trip, I think.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.